that I've titled Effective Believing. Effective what? Believing. So in other words, it is possible for us to believe in a way that may not be effective. So this morning, the way we are going to start to believe God will be in an effective way. And what does it mean to be effective? The synonym is effectual. Effectual. Effective. In other words, that is empowered to do what it's supposed to do. In other words, there's a way we can believe, and our belief will be empowered to do what it's supposed to do. It's a kind of belief that goes beyond just ordinary belief. As I was telling people in our house fellowship not too long ago, I said, look, the difference between belief and faith, they are light years apart. They are what? Light years apart. For example, somebody may say something, and we are called together. Somebody says something in a congregation or in a gathering, and they say to me, do you believe what they have said? And I say, yes, I believe. And then somebody then says, can you stake your life on it? Are you ready to die for this? When it comes to that, I will probably will pull back and say, I believe them, but I don't think I can stake my life on it. But the work of faith is such that you become so convinced. You believe to the point that you can stake your life on it. We read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did they say? They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to do what? To deliver us. He said, peradventure, perhaps, if he chooses not to deliver us on this occasion, O king, we'll still not worship your image, your idol. That is what? Effective believing. They believe to a point that God had to do something in their situation. God will do something in your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read verse 13. We are talking about effective believing. Believing that will cross the threshold into the realm of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I will read again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let me tell you something this morning. We all retain the ability to make a choice. That is something God has never taken away from man. The ability to make a choice. And I said to people, if God has not given us that ability to make choice, then we will not be accountable. Then we will not be responsible for our actions. And you know what? You will agree with me that life is about making choices. Every day we make choices, don't we? When you wake up in the morning, first of all, you have to decide whether you want to get up from bed or not. Isn't it? You have to decide. So you make a choice. After getting up from bed, you have to decide whether you are going to have breakfast or not. After deciding that, you may even have to decide whether you are going to have your shower in the morning or not. In fact, you may choose to have your shower every week. Somebody said, bath regularly. It does not mean every day. You may decide to have your shower every 2 weeks. So we make choices every day. In simple things, in big things, we make choices. In fact, becoming a child of God is one of the choices we have made. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens unto me, I will do what? I will come in and sup with him. So we have to make a choice. Jesus was knocking. He was at the door. He didn't come in. He stayed at the door and he knocked. And we came to a point where we made a choice. We were going to allow Jesus in. And we opened the door. And he walked in. So, a choice. And it's one of the best choices. In fact, it's the best choice and most important choice we have made in our lives. Of course, we also continue to make choice even as we are in him, as to the extent to which we want to fellowship with God. That is what we are talking about this morning in terms of our effective believing. Because the choice we make determines the outcome we get. Am I right? The choices we make will determine the outcome we get. When I drive my car to work and I see the speed limit and it says 110, I have a choice to go at 180. And if all works well and it happens to be the day that the police are patrolling and they see me, I've already made my choice. Praise the Lord. So within our choices, we continue to make choices. As we have become children of God who believe in him, we have a choice to make as to the extent to which we want to go within. If we draw near to God, God will do what? Will draw near to us. If we put everything at his feet, Jesus, we put everything at our feet. How do I know that? He said, he who is faithful in small things. Someone who is faithful in small things. Of course, you can entrust big things of the kingdom to the person. And if you have the power of the kingdom, you know what? You begin to rule over the power of the physical. So, mere believing is not enough. Our style of believing can either free or tie the hand of God in our life or in our situations. So it's not just enough for us to say, oh, I believe. How we believe is very important. It's so important. How we believe. It's so important. I mean, we've read examples of people who believe. When truly you believe, you know, it's sometimes we Christians, we are like people who watch the stock exchange. You know, we watch the stock exchange, we see how things are going. And they come. I mean, and somebody comes to ask us and say, how, you know, what about this company? We say, oh, look, I'm telling you, this is the best company since bread was discovered. I like this company. It's so wonderful. Oh, the returns. Look, if you can be patient, in 5 years' time, the return you will get from this company, it's unbelievable. Look, if you put in 100,000, I can tell you in 5 years, you'll be a multimillionaire. And somebody asks you, say, okay, how much have you invested in it? Say, you see, and I kept my money under my pillow. And you know the company is so good, and you are not investing in it. That is the way we come across sometimes. That's the way we come across. We believe our God can do all things. Our God is so wonderful. Our God is so, you see, every situation we take to him, God is God. Oh, yeah, he will do it all for you. He's so wonderful. He's so powerful. But when it comes to the crunch, and somebody said, oh, have you prayed? You say, oh, this is not the kind of situation you pray for. You have to apply wisdom. So we are like the man who watches the stock exchange and will not invest their money into that wonderful company. And we hope to convince somebody to invest their money into it. No wonder we cannot be effective ministers of the gospel, because we have not been sold out to what we believe. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What do you do with an evidence? You show evidence. Faith is an evidence to be shown, to take out. In place of that thing, faith is that thing that you can hold up and say, look, I believe that God will do it. Faith assumes a position of tangibility in the hand of a child of God. So it's not a theory, it's not a concept. It becomes a way of life. It becomes a substance that we can hold on to and put things at stake because of it. Because it's an evidence. What evidence do you have? Because God has said it. What evidence do you have? Because God has said it. And somebody, it will look foolish to the world. It's not going to make sense. They say, look, somebody of your position, you see, you have been to school, you are well read, you have degree, you are this highly placed. And if somebody is asking you for an evidence, and all you can say is because God has said it. Don't you have a proof? Don't you have, you know, what is your evidence? And I say, look, because God has said it. That is what? That is effective believing. When we get to that point, we know that we mean business. Let's open to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. You know how much I like this piece of scripture. Because that is what makes the difference. He said, for indeed, we have heard the glad tidings, that is the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. He said, but the message they had did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. Somebody say absolute trust. Absolute what? Trust. What does it mean to be absolute? It means there's no part that is remaining. There's no remnant. There's nothing left out. Say, in absolute trust. In absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness by those who had it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, that is Joshua and Caleb, who had and did believe. I like this. This is Amplified Version. What made the difference? 12 people went to spy. They saw the land. 10 people brought evil report. 2 people held on to their faith in Jesus Christ. And when everyone said it was impossible, they said it was possible. You know what? The millions others followed the 10. They believed what the 10 believed, not what the 2 people believed. But the 2 that believed it, they saw the giants. Just like the other 10, they saw the giants. What made the difference was that what they saw was mixed with faith in their heart. And so they profited. If we will allow what we see to be mixed with faith in our hearts, it will make all the difference. That is why some believers are bound to be more effective than others. We are all children of God. But the effectiveness of our belief will vary depending on how we choose to believe God. You know what? Effective believers are people who find rest in God. When you become an effective believer, you will indeed find rest in God. If you just go further, verse 3 of Hebrews that we read, Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 3. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. Praise the Lord. So where do we, those who believe, where do they get into? They enter into rest, as God has said. Those who believe effectively, they enter into rest as God has said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Can we see something here? What God is saying, he said, from the foundation of the world, your miracle had already been finished. Your promotion had been finished, had been finalized. Your healing had been finalized. Your end had been finalized. What you can be in Jesus Christ had been finalized. That's what he's saying. But it's only those who believe that will be able to take that leap and get to that place. And get to that point where they be, where God, what God has prepared for them becomes their own. It becomes a reality in their lives. It's not everyone that will enter into their rest. It is those who will believe. And believe in a way that God himself. Look, it's not about physical things. It's not just about physical things. what will it matter? What will it matter? The final, if when I take my final breath, if I have left 50 houses, what will it matter? I'm telling you, it will mean nothing that day. It will mean, from that day, it ceases to mean nothing to you anymore. You may even leave 1 million houses. It will mean nothing anymore. But those who will enter into the rest of God. So, when I talk about physical things, they are the additional things. But we can enter into the rest of God if we believe in a way that we can go out and say, look, I know whom I believe. I know whom I believe. The one who will believe God that way, they are the ones who are God pleasers. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, he diligently rewards those kind of people. I mean, he rewards those who will diligently seek him. Those who will diligently serve him. The one who is not a God pleaser, it is difficult for such a person to find rest. The kind of rest we are talking about is not the absence of trouble, but is the peace in the midst of trouble. When you are able to experience peace in the midst of trouble, it doesn't matter what's going on. You have transcended, you know, the physical. You have moved to another realm. And people begin to ask you, what is your confidence? Why? Why are you so confident? But the ones who will not believe, they are not so. Let's look at Psalm 95, verse 10 to 11. Psalm 95, 10 to 11. The ones who will not believe, they are not so. He said, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So the rest of the children of Israel who err in their hearts. To err simply means to go against the will and the purpose of God. He said to them that err in their heart, to them he said they will not know his rest. You will know the rest of God in Jesus' name. When we don't believe effectively, that is why, you see, we run a vicious circle of ineffective believing that leads to frustration, doubt, and loss of trust, and further disillusionment. A lot of times, we see a child of God, we see somebody who is a believer, some things happen in their lives. And we begin to give that as example. We say, what about so and so? You know, after all, he was like this, he was like that, and yet this still happened to them. We don't know. That is why it's a personal relationship between man and God. Our relationship with him is purely personal. That you and him will know how much you trust him. We are the two people who know. The Spirit of God and myself, we are the one who know. I may come, I even say all this to you, and when I get home, instead of trusting in him, I will do something to help my situation. Rather than trusting him, I myself will want to cut corners. So that's why it's a personal thing. So how will you know? How will you know when you are believing him effectively? One, it is a style of believing that personalizes the word of God. When you begin to believe God to the point that you begin to personalize the word of God, as it applies to your life. As when you read the word of God and you see your life in it and you know that this is for you, you are becoming an effective Christian. When you begin, when you read the word of God and you see yourself in it, and you see how you fit into what God is saying. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Luke 1, 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. He said what? "Be it unto me according to thy word." When you begin to see your place in the word of God. You see, each time I look at the account of Isaiah chapter 61, if I look at the account of how Jesus read Isaiah 61, do you know before Jesus came, that passage had been there for years. But Jesus read it with a difference. Jesus did what? He read it with a difference. Everyone, a lot of people have read that passage and we are still reading the passage till today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and so on. We've read the passage over and over. A lot of people read it before us. They read it before Jesus came. But the day Jesus read that passage, he read it with a difference. He read it with an eye of faith. He read it and saw what others did not see in that passage. When we begin to personalize the word of God, we'll be seeing things that others don't see in a particular passage. When you read the word of God, it's bound to leap up to you and come alive. When we begin to personalize the word of God and know that he's speaking to us. He read it and told them, he said, now. He said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your presence. Everything, he said, that which had been written hundreds of years ago, now as you sit here, this word is fulfilled in your presence. A lot of people have read it, but it was never fulfilled in their lives. So it's not just enough. And I'm sure they knew that the Spirit of God was there, that the Spirit of God was upon them, but they did not read it to a point whereby, you know, they appropriate it into their lives and they see the glory of God come to pass. Jesus read it and he saw what others could not see. Effective believing comes when we begin to personalize the word of God. I'm telling you, you know what? Sometimes we'll read some passages in the Bible, they'll be so scary. Oh, you say, no, if I personalize it, which means if I'm not able, if I'm not keeping up to what God's standard, all these things will happen, I better not personalize it. What God wants is our willingness, and he will give us the grace. Our willingness. If you blow it, come back. If you blow it, just come back to him and say, God, I've blown it. I'm really sorry. I want to be back on track. Begin to personalize this word. There's so much richness in the word. There's so much richness that we cannot afford to just pass through like many people who passed through before Jesus came and did not see Isaiah 61 come to pass in their lives. The word of God can be established in our lives. That same word is still alive till today. Do you know what? If we believe it, like Jesus believed it, and appropriate it to ourselves, what did Jesus say? He said, greater work than this shall you do also. So which means what he has done is possible for us to do. If we come to that point where we personalize this word. So the word of God is not a mere history book. It is the only word that is life and a spirit. And you know what? is only word that is a person. Is only word that is God. All the other writings, they are not the same. They are not the same thing. Quran is not spirit. Quran is not God. We all know that the word of God and God, they are the same. It's the only word that is spirit and is alive. In John 6:63, Jesus said, "This the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are alive." You see, we tend to turn it into a history book. When you read history book, it may help you to adjust. It may give you more knowledge. But honestly, it may not bring the turnaround in your life that you need. Effective believing comes from personalizing the word. And the word is for everyone. But as you see, not everyone will profit by it. Everything that God has called us to do is embedded in the word of God. Even when he says we should love, do you know it is embedded in the word of God? That ability to do it. And I was reading 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 4. And I got a different definition of God's own kind of love. Not the world's kind of love. First John chapter 5. I got another definition of his love in there. Remember, we're talking about effective believing. He said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." That is very interesting. Is it not in a roundabout way? So, how do we know that we love the children of God? How do we know that we love the children of God? Amen. So when we love God himself and do his word, and I turn it around in my heart, and I say, yes, that's true. Because when we love God and we do his commandment, automatically it translates to the love for others. Because we love him. We will not do the things he asks us not to do. And therefore, we cannot but show for our love for others. He said, "For this is the love of God, that will keep his commandment, and his commandments are not what? Are not grievous." When you say something is grievous, what does it mean? It means it's difficult to do. It means it cannot, you know, maybe I should read another version. He said, for the true love of God is this, that we do his command, keep his ordinances, and are mindful of his precepts and teachings. And these orders of his are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. But we complain. We say it's not practical enough. And verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So, it's saying, those of us who are born of God, we are already fashioned. We are already shaped. We are equipped to become overcomers. The things that easily set us back, we are told that God has deposited in us enough ingredients, enough attributes, enough ability to overcome and make it home with him. God has put enough wisdom. He has put enough courage. He has put enough everything that we need to overcome. Because that which is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is our victory. Even our faith, our belief. Our belief that takes us the extra mile is what makes us overcome. You will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Of course, as we have said, it's a style of believing that holds God's word as the truth. And this is what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. That when the word of God comes, don't look at the person delivering the word. Don't look at the person delivering the word. Look at the word of God. What did Paul say concerning the Thessalonians? He said they received the word of God that came from them as if they are words of angels, as if angels have come to speak these words. They didn't look at the person. This is my own addition now, please. It's not from the Bible. Okay? I don't know if Brother Paul was limping. I don't know if Brother Paul was limping. I don't know if Brother Paul, you know, had one deformity or the other. I don't know what his weakness was. Remember, he said it was an infirmity in his life. Okay? That God said his grace was enough. But I don't know whatever the infirmity was. But the Thessalonians saw beyond the infirmities. They received the word that came from him as if angels. You know what? It was not his shortcomings that mattered to them. It was not his height. It was not his tummy. It was not whether he was dieting well. It was not his clothes. It was not the shoes. It was not what he was wearing. It was not, he said, what mattered to the Thessalonians was the word, and they received it. They did not allow anything to limit it. They received the word as if angels had spoken the word. And you know what? In Acts chapter 17, Paul now talked about another group of people. Who are these people? The Berean Christian. What did he say about them? He said, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So there were some people who were even more noble than them. Not only did they just receive the word as if the words had been spoken by angels, they go home, they read it, they confirm. See, they were even more noble than those who believe this word. So because they went beyond believing, they meditated on the word. They searched the word and meditated on the word. Are we going to be like the Berean Christians? How do you receive the word of God? How? What is your attitude to the word of God? When you receive it, do you run with it? When you receive it, do you research it? Is your passion after it? When you receive the word of God, is it the man you receive or the word? Those in Thessalonica, they received the word as it should be received. As if the word was spoken. As far as they were concerned, the word was infallible. The word was complete. It was infallible. They just believed. They believed. That's what he said in 1 Thessalonica chapter 12, you know, 2 verse 13. They just received the word. What is our attitude? You know what? Trust is the foundation of any good relationship as it is with God. Trust is the foundation of every good relationship. And that trust is something that God himself also cherishes. Let's look at Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. He said, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. But let's look at the let's look at the first part. Blessed is that man that make the Lord his trust. So God cherishes trust when we trust in him. When we hear his word and we believe and we run with it, God cherishes that. Let's look at Psalm 37 also, verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So deliverance is for those who trust in the Lord. Deliverance is for those who trust in the Lord. And there are many, many other places. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. Many, many other places where you see God indicating how much he will stand in the defense of those who will trust in him. Trust. Trust. Who will trust God? God is ready to arise on our behalf. He's ready to arise on our behalf. I was reading Exodus yesterday. You know how God said he revealed himself to Moses as the redemptive God. And I looked at the passage of how, you know, the steps it took God to get them out of Egypt. He talked about separating them from the Egyptians, separating them. You see, each of those plagues, God will separate the Israelites from the Egyptians. He will separate them. God will separate you in the mighty name of Jesus. He separated them so that when the afflictions came, they were not part of it. This is what happens. When you trust in the Lord, God will begin to separate you. He will separate you from misfortune. He will separate you from infirmity. He will begin to separate you. He separated the children of Israel. What is our style of believing? It's so crucial how we believe. It's not just enough to say, oh, I believe. Those who will believe effectively are the people who will take risks based on that belief. They will take a step of faith based on their belief. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 3 to 4. He said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. What God wants to do in your life and in my life, it's not going to be dependent on whether somebody likes you or not. It's not going to be dependent on whether somebody chooses to be an obstacle or not. It's not going to be dependent on whether somebody said, look, if I don't contribute to it, I will see how he's going to do it or not. It's going to depend purely on the divine provision of the Lord. If we will take risks, take that step, when we hear the word of God, take that risk and take that step to do it. Sometimes it's going to cost us things. popularity or whatever. It may cost you even friendship sometimes. Abraham did not know where he was going. He has never been there before. In fact, nobody from his village had been to that place and come back to give him a report that that place is so good. No, he had nothing to go by. He had nobody to tell him what the place would look like. God told him to go, and he went. He even told him, he said, leave your kindred and your brethren and your this and leave and go. And he took the risks. Another person who took the risk was the woman with the issue of blood. Because of her situation, she was not supposed to be in the crowd. The crowd could have thronged on her. In fact, somebody could have discovered her and turned her to the priest or whoever that needed to punish her. Because as far as they were concerned, she was defiling the people out there because of her quote and unquote uncleanliness. Yet, she took the risks. Somehow she knew, because she believed, that once she was able to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, something will happen. You know what? If that lady had not taken that risk, another 12 years she would still have been on the same spot, singing the same song, doing the same thing, complaining and grumbling. If you are doing what you are doing in faith and God sees your heart, He will come to your rescue. And I say to people that the extent of our knowledge of Him is revealed in how much impact or how much our knowledge of Him has changed our behavior and attitude. If you say you know God and we still keep malice and we still walk against people and we still, you know, and we still do things that the people of the world will do, no. Honestly, we will know that we are not, you know, that we are deceiving ourselves, that we are not there yet. Effective believing comes from appropriating the word and making it to, and bringing about a change in our lives. In fact, effective believing allows you to know the end result from the beginning. You know what? In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That is faith. Even before you see the result, you already know what the end result will be. Because you know who you serve. You know who your God is. If God is not able to do it, in Numbers 23:19, He will not say so. The only reason why God will not do it is if it does not fit into His plan and purpose for your life. You may cry, you may howl, you may do all sorts of things. If it will not mean, it may look so nice to us. But something I know is that God has a better plan than any man can have for your life, even than the one you can have for your life. It will only be on that condition that God will not do that thing. Because Every godly expectation is designed to receive answer from the Lord. And of course, effective believing is yielding oneself as the instrument for the fulfillment of the word of God. Effective believing. For example, somebody needs something. They come to me. They've been praying for this thing. They come to me, and I have that thing in my pocket that I can easily give to them. And I allow them to walk away. I refuse to help them. I have not believed effectively. I'm telling you. Then I have not believed what? Effectively. When you believe effectively, you become a source of blessing to people. You'll be a source of blessing to people in Jesus' name. You become an instrument. Look at what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. He said, "For if I merely preach the gospel, that gives me no reason to boast. For I feel compelled of necessity to do it. Woe is me if I do not preach the glad tidings, that is the gospel." So, effective believing means that I will yield myself. Preaching the gospel is not just, saying it the way I'm saying it to you. It's living it. It's allowing our lives to preach Christ. That is effective believing. The word of God requires a living medium. And of course, you know that God is able to create one where none previously existed. So do you want to yield yourself to him? Is a decision. We keep making choices every day. In every situation, we have to decide whether we want to yield or not yield, whether we want to obey that particular thing we hear. That's why some of us, there are some areas of our lives that we don't deal with God. We will not entrust to God. Some of us, it may be finance. You can ask me to do anything in the church except ask me to pay my tithes, give offering, or even contribute to church project. I will do any other thing, though. But when it comes to money, no, that's not. It's a no-go area. Some of us, it may be something to do with our marriage. Oh, yes, I trust God for every other area, but my marriage? No, once we really have to fight this out. He said, no, but the word of God says this. He said, no. This is when you know the word of God. Praise the Lord. It has to be applicable to every facet of our lives. We must allow the word of God to be effective in every facet of our lives. So we become that medium. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We must allow Christ to flow out of us. It's a word. The word is a treasure that is entrusted to us. And that is the way we have to see it. And of course, effective believing is yielding control to God when a matter has been taken to his court. When you have taken a matter to the court of God, you yield control to him. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what the problem may be. When you bring it before him in prayer, when you speak to him, also release it to him. You yield control of that situation to God. That is effective believing. There's no point bringing it to him and still carrying the burden yourself. That is not effective believing. Say, God, give me the grace to take my mind off this particular situation. I've committed it to you. I want to move on to other things. I don't want this thing to clog my mind anymore. I don't want this to clog my mind anymore. I've given it to you. I've laid it with you, Lord Jesus. Give me the grace to cast my cares upon you. That is effective believing. If you say, look, I believe that God can do this. I believe that God is able. And yet, I carry the same worry. They say, look, let's pray about this thing. Is there something you're asking God to do in your life? And we all raise hands up and we pray about it. And you leave this place and you carry it home and you're still worrying about it. That is not effective believing. It is not me, it's not of me to know how he's going to do it. How God is going to work it out, I don't know. But one thing I know is that I brought it to him and I've released it to him and God is able to do it. Because what? For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said. So when you believe, you enter into rest. Allow your mind to rest. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For those of us who believe, as soon as we believe, we have to enter into his rest. Give the body to him. That is effective believing. Effective believing is not necessarily to seek signs. It's not doubting. It's not believing in the person of the one bringing the message to you. It's not twisting the word. And it's not the inappropriate use of the power of the gospel. It is the trust in God. It's the trust in God. Believing that he's able to do what he says he will do. Effective believing. Today, we are going to have our Holy Communion. And I don't want us to take it as an ordinary thing. I don't want us to do it as a regular thing that we normally do. I've told us that every moment we are in the presence of God, we should see it as a special moment to be connected with him. It is the way we believe him that matters. And it matters this morning. Let us just rise up as we pray this morning. We've talked about effective believing so that the word of God might be able to come to pass in our lives and establish something in us. Through us. Can we just get the elements and the wine, please? As we have the Holy Communion. Please, can we just rise up? Let us pray. Ask God for the ability to become an effective believer. I want you to speak to the Lord. Say, Father, make me an effective believer. The effective believer is the one in whose life the word of God is able to reign and rule and accomplish much. Ask that God will make you an effective believer. Effectiveness is the ability to achieve the desired outcome. Our desired outcome is to make heaven. And on our journey to heaven, to have a heaven on earth, yes, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can cause the will of God to be done wherever you are. That is effective believing. Make me an effective believer, O Lord. I've heard your word. I pray that this word will not stand against me on the day of judgment. But Lord Jesus, make me an effective believer. I will be one of those that will profit by the word. I will profit by your word. Make me an effective believer. I will profit by your word, Lord. I will profit by your word. Make me an effective believer. Thank you, Jesus. Make me an effective believer. Everything that is needed. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, I want you to just take the element. You can eat the element, but when you take the wine, just hold on. We are going to drink in unison. You can eat the bread, but just keep the wine. Just keep the wine. Let the other people know that we're about we are having the Holy Communion. There is none holy as our God, holy as the Lord. There is none beside the Lord. There are any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none, there is none beside the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us drink. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Is there any particular area of your life that you are looking onto? We've just talked about effective believing. Effective believing is to commit something to God and then yield control to him. And don't go home with it anymore. Please commit that thing to the Lord and yield control to him. And as you walk out of this place, it will not be part of your life anymore. For the Lord himself will show his faithfulness. Because with strong arm, he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. With that same strong arm, he will deliver you in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to commit that thing unto the Lord. Commit it unto the Lord. Whatever it is, commit it unto the Lord. That same Jesus. Oh yes, he's able to do it. He's more than able. Thank you, Jesus, for an hour like this. An hour to fellowship. An hour to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood. An hour of power. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, O Lord. For you have heard, O Lord. And according to your word, you will establish your counsel. In every life in this place, you will establish your counsel. Everyone who will call upon you, you will answer today. Today is the day of answer. In the mighty name of Jesus, is a day of breakthrough. Is a day that will see the glory of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. For as many as will call upon you, will not go home empty-handed, but is a day of deliverance. Father, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. We give you all the glory that as many as have eaten here this afternoon, Lord Jesus, they will give testimony concerning your goodness. Lord, everyone who has eaten here this afternoon, we enter into your rest. You say to those of us who believe, we enter into your rest. We enter into the rest of the living God this afternoon. I said, we enter into the rest of the living God this afternoon. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every care, every burden, everything that looks impossible. My Father, my God, you are that rock, O Lord. They come against you, O Lord. Everything that stay in our life that want to present itself as impossible, they come against you, the rock, O Lord. You will break them. In the mighty name of Jesus, every circumstance, every situation that hitherto had looked impossible, because they have confronted the Almighty God, Lord Jesus, you break them down in the mighty name of Jesus, and you give victory to your children. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,